Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Marty. It's an honor to be able to share God's word with you tonight. Dustin, what's up, brother? I was wondering if you're going to make it. My man's in the house. Thank you for coming, bro. I'm glad you're here. Pastor Marty, thank you for giving me the opportunity to share the word tonight. I could just cry just talking about him. I could spend the next 30 minutes just talking about how much he's been a blessing to my life, but you're my pastor, and you've been a mentor to me since the day I met you. And I don't just say that because it's a formality that guest speakers thank the pastor. You are my pastor, and you are my friend, and thank you for letting me share tonight's word. And we ride together, and we die together. Amen. And so, you know, many of you know that I was able to overcome addiction. And I don't refer to myself as in recovery. I refer to myself as recovered. I'm very careful and very cautious on the words that I speak over my life, and especially when I talk about who I used to be. And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. I want to talk about labels. I want to talk about words and the thoughts and how you think about yourself. Because when you think about drugs and you think about alcohol, you think about NA and you think about AA, you think about the 12 steps and meetings and sponsors and all of those things. And I worked all of those things, and they helped me. I don't want you to ever think that I'm against any of the traditional programs. I'm for it. I support it 100%. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for places like Hope Haven and Jocasta and the counselors and all the men and women that God brought into my life. I learned a lot about addiction, and I learned a lot about myself. But for me personally, it just didn't seem like it was enough to help me overcome. I just kept going back to drugs and alcohol. I kept relapsing for some reason. I was trying very hard. And then in 2009, as many of you know, I got into a car accident, and I woke up in jail, and I had hit rock bottom. And I realized that I needed God in my life. And so when I mix God into my program, into my traditional program, I'm telling you right now, brothers and sisters, I have not looked back. I have beaten addiction, and I'll never go back. And so we all know about the traditional side. Yeah, praise the Lord. If you're going to clap, clap for Jesus. Don't clap for me. And so we all know about the traditional side. We hear about it, and we see it every day. But if you look in the program, you'll see God is there. God is in the 12 steps. God is in Hope Haven. God is down the street at Atwater House. He's in Jocasta. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. I want to talk about the spiritual side of recovery. I want to talk about my spiritual program that I worked. God's got me to a place right now where I'm completely dependent on him. And I don't go to meetings, and I don't have a sponsor. Jesus is my sponsor. Pastor Marty's is my sponsor. But I want you to remember that I'm for it, and I support it 100%. And so how I beat addiction was taking all of those tools that they gave me and looking to the Word of God and believing what the Bible said about me. And I want to share two verses with you that really started a fire inside of me while I was in jail. Because my whole life, people told me that I was a troublemaker, a loser, a drug addict, an alcoholic. They labeled me and they put me in these categories. And I listened to this so much, and I was told this so much, that I began to believe it. So I became what they said. And so when I read the Bible and I opened it up, God told me something different than what the world was telling me. And this is just a couple verses. They're not going to be on the screen. And just to get your wheels turning to what I'm going to talk about tonight. Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, "Whatsoever a man thinketh in his heart, so shall he be." And then it goes on to say in Romans 4:17, it said, "Speak those things that are not as though they were." And so my whole life I was walking around speaking negative about myself, talking down about myself, believing what other people were saying about me. And then I opened up the Bible and I read that, "Whatsoever a man thinketh in his heart, so shall he be." And I realized I needed to change the way I think. I needed to change the way I spoke and the way I acted. And God helped me with that. And so I want to talk about how I changed the way I talked about drugs and alcohol. How the way I changed the way I talked about being a father and a husband. Because the enemy wants to believe that you can't do anything. He wants you to believe that you'll never get better and that you'll always be the way you are. And that's where I was in my life. And that was a huge part of my recovery, is changing the things I said about myself and my situation. And so I'm going to pray, and then we'll get right into the message. And Father in heaven, I thank you so much for this opportunity to deliver your word tonight, God. God, I pray for the next few moments that you just allow your Holy Spirit to fill me, Father God. I beg of your anointing, God, because without that, I'm nothing. And my words fall flat on this floor. God, I pray that you just take me out of this, God, that I wouldn't be glorified, but you would be glorified and your name would be lifted up in this house. And God, I pray for the next few moments that you'd bless the reading of this word. In Jesus' name, Amen. And so, what would you say if I told you that you are not yet who you were supposed to be? What if I told you that you are not yet who God created you to be? You know, the moment I realized this truth is the moment that my life started to change. And I want you to think back for a minute when you were in high school or when you were in junior high. If you're anything like me, it was a time in your life where you just tried to fit in, right? Remember the cool kids or this kid that sat, these group of kids that sat at this lunch table or hung out by the tree over here? Everyone had a clique. Everyone had a crew that they rolled with. And for me, in junior high school and high school, it was a tough time for me because I grew up poor and I grew up on welfare. I had dirty clothes and holes in my shoes, and I never had any money to do what the other kids were doing. And so I tried whatever I could do just to fit in, just to belong. And every day, I'd wake up and I'd look for people to hang out with or people to do things with, and it was hard for me. And it got to the point where I would do anything. If I was hanging out with a bunch of kids and they were drinking, I'd drink beer. I'd drink some liquor. Why? Because I wanted to fit in. I wanted to belong. And if I was hanging around a group of kids and they were robbing and they were stealing, I'd do whatever I had to do to prove to them that I was cool or that I was a good time or I was fun to be around. But the reality of it was that I wasn't good. And the choices that I was making and the people that I were hanging out with weren't good either. But I had no father and I had no mother and I had no one to lead me or to guide me. I was out there all alone just trying to fit in. And I wasn't fooling God. And the truth is I wasn't fooling myself because I knew what I was doing was wrong, but I had no idea the road that it was going to take me down. And the harder that I tried to fit in, the harder I tried to be cool, the more negative labels that I received. It seemed like everywhere I went, somebody had something bad to say about me. Paulie, would you put that first picture up there? I want to show you some pictures. This is an actual mugshot of me when I was just a teenager. I got arrested for making poor choices. I had no father. I had no mother. I had nobody helping me in life. And I was just making poor choices. And I remember after I got arrested, nobody came alongside of me and said, hey, you can do it. You're going to make it. You know what they said I was? They said I was a troublemaker. That's what everyone said. Stay away from Chris. He's just a troublemaker. Come from a broken home on welfare. He's dirty. And all he does is cause trouble. Show that next picture. And so you know what I did? I started to be the best troublemaker that I could be. I got as much trouble as I could. Everywhere I went, trouble followed me. And I made sure of it. You want to know why? Because that's what everybody said about me. And the more trouble I made, the more problems I called, I get arrested again. And next thing you know, everyone's saying I'm just a loser. Stay away from him. Another negative label. Loser. No good. Show the next one. And so I begin to drink and I begin to party and I just go off the deep end. I'm just a teenager in this picture. I got a teenage boy right now and I look at him. Look, I'm arrested all alone by myself. Nobody's saying anything nice to me. All they said, you know what? You're just like your brothers. You're just an alcoholic. I remember being walked over to the police station, two cops on either side of me. You know what they said about me? They said, you're just like your brothers. You only be an alcoholic. That's you ever be. And I remember this, a true story. I dropped to my knees and I started crying because I didn't want to be like them. But that's what they said I was. And so that's what I became. I became exactly what they said I was, an alcoholic. And as years went by, I drank and I used drugs and I got in more trouble. I get arrested again. Show the next picture. And in this picture right here, I'm out there. I'm drinking and partying. I'm a deadbeat dad. I'm a loser. I'm a troublemaker. And I'm a drug addict. And I remember after I got arrested, I went to court. You know where they took me? They took me to rehab. And I remember sitting down in the group and he says, you have a disease. And you have a sickness. And you'll never get better. And I walked out. Because you know how many times I went to meetings? You know how many times I've gotten a sponsor? You know how many times I worked the steps? And nothing seemed to work. And so I remember walking out of rehab, walking home with my little jail bag. They give you a clear plastic bag with all my stuff in it, and I was defeated. I said, you know what, the hell with it? I'm just going to drink. I'm just going to use drugs. This is who I am. That's what Chris Buzniak does. And so I did. And as many of you know, I did this for years. And you know what happened? And one night, everything came to a head. all the years of drinking and using drugs and everything that everything the world said I was going to do, I did. And then one night I got drunk and I blacked out and I hit my wife with a car. And I woke up in jail. Didn't remember what I did. And when that happened, it drove my reputation of being this mean, nasty, horrible person even deeper. And I got some even harsher negative labels. I went from being a drug addict to an alcoholic to being a deadbeat dad, a deadbeat husband, an abusive father, an abusive husband. I had restraining orders on me. I couldn't see my own kids. I couldn't see my own wife. If I did, I'd go to jail. All because I made some poor choices and the world was saying bad things about me. And I want you to think for a moment. What about you? What are some of the negative labels that follow after your name? I'm very vulnerable tonight. Paul, you can take that picture down. I don't want to see it no more. When I grew up, they said the name Chris Buzniak, you know what followed it? Loser, troublemaker, drug addict, abusive, neglectful, all these mean, nasty things. But what about you? Has somebody ever attached a negative label to your name? I wonder what people call you. Maybe not to your face, but you know they say things behind your back. There's always people out there like that. And maybe people say you're lazy or you're unproductive. Or maybe you're like me. Maybe you're a father here tonight. Maybe you're having trouble. Maybe you've labeled as a deadbeat dad. Or maybe it's a mom. Maybe you've got that label as a deadbeat mom. I wonder what are some of the negative labels that follow after your name. Because I'm pretty sure some of you have been talked about tonight. I know I have. But I want to give you some good news. Some good news that was revealed to me through the truth, the word of God, when I was in the jail cell and I began to read. You know what I learned? I learned that no matter what happened in my past, it doesn't have to be true about me today. I knew that I found out that the minute I gave my heart to the Lord, that everything was about to change. And I realized that God was bigger than my mistakes, that God was bigger than my past, and God was bigger than other people's opinions. And I also realized that God was bigger than my addiction. And no matter what was true about you then, it does not have to be true about you tonight. And so tonight I want to encourage you for the next few moments just to let go of what others have said about you. Let go of how other people view you. And I want you to start to see yourself how God sees you and to think about yourself how God thinks about you. Because some of you are here today and you're walking around with these labels. You've been put in certain categories and you think that's the only way it'll ever be. But I want to tell you that's not true. That's a lie. I'm a living witness to the power of God. Because tonight I believe it's time for some of you to become who God's called you to be. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, this is what it says. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, all things have become new. And so I want to share two thoughts with you. I'll only be a couple minutes, and it's my prayer that they encourage you like they encouraged me. And so my first thought is this, that God can actually change your name. God can give you a new name. In fact, in Isaiah 62, verse 2, it says, the nations will see your vindication, all kings your glory, and you will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. And all throughout Scripture, you can see these situations where God, he didn't see what other people saw. He didn't say the things that other people said. He saw something different, and he changed their name. In the Old Testament, you have Abram and Sarai, and he said to Abram and Sarai, hey, I'm going to give you a new name. You're not going to be known as that anymore. You're going to be known as Abraham, and you're going to be known as Sarah. And then there was Jacob, who was known as a deceiver. That's what he was known for, is a deceiver. And God said, you're not going to be known as a deceiver anymore. I'm giving you a new name, and your name is Israel. God will give you a new name. You know, when I first came to City Church, and I started working here, I was absolutely terrified because my whole life I've been talked down to and I've been labeled and put in this class and that class. I never felt good enough. I never felt worthy to be a part of anything good. I mean, look at my tattoos. I got a criminal record and I got tattoos all over my body. Why would anybody ever want me to be a part of anything good? But Pastor Marty saw something in me and he brought me here to work. And you know what? Every single day I was terrified to come into work because I didn't feel like I fit in. I didn't feel like I belonged. I didn't feel like I was good enough. And then one day, after a service, I'd been here for a year or so, I was walking towards the back, and someone yelled out my name, and they called me something that I have never been called before, and it gave me chills when I heard it. I said, "Hey, Pastor Chris, can I talk to you?" And I thought, whoa, you got the wrong dude. You don't know who I am, and you don't know the things that I've done, and I felt unworthy to be called that. And then you know what? A few months later, right in the sanctuary, someone else came up to me and said the same thing. And the hairs on my neck stood up, and I thought, oh my God, what's going on? How could they see me like that? I never intended for that. It's not what I ever wanted. And so you know what I did? I ran upstairs and I told on myself. I did. The next Monday, I went upstairs and I ran to Pastor Marty's office, and I was ready for him to light me up. And he sits there with his computer on his table, and he's got his glasses like this. And I went in, I said, "Pastor Marty, I said, I got to tell you something." And I was nervous. And he said, "What's up?" I said, "Man, in church yesterday, someone said something to me, and I just wanted to tell you about it. They called me pastor, and I want to let you know that I didn't tell them to say that. I don't know why they're saying that." And I remember he looked at me over his glasses. He says, "Chris," he's like, "you have come a long ways." He's like, "And if somebody feels the need to call you pastor, that's okay." He's like, "You received that compliment." And I'm standing there looking at him like, are you kidding me? And I remember walking out, because pastors always got to get you before you go. He says, "Hey, don't let that go to your head." And so I'm coming down the stairs. And my heart is warm. And for the first time in my life, somebody saw something good in me. Somebody said something nice. Someone put a label on me that was good. And I realized at that time that God was giving me a new name, that he was beginning to change my identity, and he was changing what people were saying about me. And just like God did that for me, he'll do it for you. God will change your name. He'll change your reputation. He'll change what people say and what people think about you. He'll break the negative labels that are on your life. He has the power to do that. And now I'm not like Pastor Marty or Pastor Aaron. They're amazing. You know, every day I'm growing more and more. I don't hold myself to his standard. He's on a whole nother level of greatness. But one day I hope to be there. If I keep working hard and I keep trusting God in my life, I know that I can get there one day. And so will you. Maybe you don't feel worthy of this new name that God is giving you. But I want to tell you, you'll grow into your new name. Maybe you think like I did, that you're not good enough or you're not worthy. You'll grow into your new name. And so I wonder what your new name will be. If you would just trust God with your life like I did in that jail cell, if you just take a step of faith and lay your life down and surrender complete to him, I wonder what he will call you. Maybe you're here tonight and you're like me. I've done some really jacked up stuff, stuff that I wouldn't even tell you about. I've done some really bad stuff. And maybe you're here and you've done some bad stuff too. But now you're new. And so maybe God calls you forgiven. Maybe your new name is forgiven. Or maybe he might call you transformed or healed. Or maybe you might be known as a deadbeat dad. God can change that. He did it for me because the truth was, I was a deadbeat, but not no more. And God, maybe he'll change your name to Great Dad or Great Mom. But whatever you've been called in the past, I stood up here tonight just to tell you that it's not true. That you're not what the world says you are. You're who God says you are. And I'm not a drug addict. And I'm not an alcoholic. I'm a good dad. And I'm a good husband. My second thought is this. God won't only give you a new name, he'll give you a new purpose. And we can see this illustrated perfectly in the scriptures. And we're going to look at a guy named Simon. If you know anything about Simon, he was known as being unpredictable, unstable, and unfaithful. That's what he was known for, and those are the negative labels that the world put on him. Unfaithful, unstable, unpredictable. And Jesus looked at Simon, looked right past everything that the world was saying about him, and he says, I know that you're a fisherman right now, but I'm going to use you to reach people. He's like, in fact, I'm going to change your name. Simon, you will no longer be known as Simon. You will be called Peter. And Peter means rock. That's the exact opposite of who he was. He was unstable. He was unfaithful. He was unpredictable. But when Jesus came into his life, everything changed. And God used him in a mighty, mighty way. What did Jesus do? He changed his name and he gave him a purpose. Peter wasn't born a rock, but he grew into his purpose. He grew into his name and he died a rock. And you will too. You will grow into your purpose. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And therefore I boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so Christ's power may rest on me. And oftentimes you will see God will take your greatest weakness and he'll make it your greatest strength. Do you remember my big labels in the beginning? Troublemaker, loser, alcoholic, drug addict, deadbeat, all these mean and nasty things. Well, the great thing is that God did a great miracle in my greatest weakness. My greatest weakness was drugs and alcohol. That's where my downfall was. And would you know it, that today, beaten and conquering addiction, my greatest passion is encouraging other people who struggle with the same weakness? And God will take your weakness, whatever it is, and he'll turn it into your greatest strength. And he will use you to reach people, if you'll let him. I was known for being an abusive husband. And now, I'm known for being a loving husband. I was known for being a deadbeat dad. They told her to keep my kids away from me. CPS came to see me in jail, and they put papers in front of me, and they said, if you go near those boys, you're going to get charged with a felony. And now today, I'm friends with CPS, and I'm known as a good dad because God changed my name, and he changed my purpose. And maybe you're here tonight, and maybe you've been labeled as a drug addict or an alcoholic or a junkie. And now God can use you to encourage other people. Because the Bible says that if anyone is in Christ, anyone, they are a new creation. And God is not done with you yet. And so I'm going to close with a story about a person from the Old Testament. It's a story of a person who carried a negative label their whole life. And her name is Rahab. You know, Rahab was mentioned 8 different times in the Bible. And 6 of those times she was mentioned and labeled as Rahab the harlot or Rahab the prostitute. And can you imagine what that would do to a young lady's self-image, to her self-esteem? It must have been devastating to be walking around thought of as used goods. All the women in town, they talked about her. All the guys put her down, and she didn't matter anything to anyone. She was just used goods. She went through life being looked down on and talked about, and she carried this horrible label. But then one day some spies came into her city. You know what she did? She risked her life to save these spies. Why would she do that? I'll tell you why she did it. Rahab risked her life for these spies because she heard about their God. And she wondered, can their God be my God? Can their God do that for me too? And so she took a step of faith. And she reached out to a God that she'd never known before. And God loved her and accepted her and ultimately transformed her entire life. And God brought a man into her life, a godly man, a good man. And she got married. And would you know that she had a great, 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 great grandson? And his name happened to be Jesus. Out of a woman who was known as a prostitute and used goods came the Savior of the world. And that all goes to show you that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. And what God did for her, he can do for you. And all it takes is just you to come out and take a step of faith. And so I asked Pastor Marty if he would close for us tonight. And so as he comes to the stage, I want you to think, what negative labels have followed your name? Whatever the world says about you, it isn't true. You are not what the world says you are. You are who God says you are. Thank you for letting me share with you tonight.
Come in. Isn't that beautiful? Come on tonight. That's what God can do in a life. That's what God can do in a life. Just stay standing all over the house. Close your eyes. Just bow your head for a minute. God's speaking to many of you tonight. This is your moment. This is your time. You know how many times I've heard people over the years say, oh, I can beat it myself. I can do this on my own. And it never happens. You know, the best thing for some is to land in prison. At least they're not dead. But there's a better route. There's a better way. And that is for you to have an encounter with a living God, like Chris did, like Judy did, like Brad did, like Melissa did, like Marty did, like Wayne did. I could just keep on going and going and going and going. And you say, well, yeah, I've tried it before. Do you remember the story in the Bible? Just keep your eyes closed, your heads bowed, just for 1 minute. There's a story in the Bible where Jesus touched a man who was blind. He said to the man after he touched him, what do you see? He said, I see men like trees walking around. He said, come here. I want to touch you one more time. Some of you need a second touch. Some of you have never had a touch from God. You've never opened up your life to Him. You said, I can do this on my own. I got it covered. I despise when I see somebody's life swirling down a deep, dark hole. And I say, can I help? Can I pray? Oh, no. I'm good. I'm okay. You're not good. You're not okay. The enemy wants to destroy you. He's come to kill, steal, and destroy. But tonight, John 10:10 comes alive. Jesus said, I have come that I may give them life and give it more abundantly. Do you want that tonight? I want you to do maybe something that you've never done before. You'll never get anything new if you continually do what you've always done. If you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got. And God spoke to me. He said, if you'll lay hands on them, pray over them, anoint them with oil, the prayer of faith, He shall save the sick. I don't care what you call it. People say it's a disease. You call it anything you want. God's a deliverer. That's who He is. He's come to set you free. I want you to get out of your seat. I don't want you to think twice about it. I want you to come down. Stand in this front of this church right now. Don't you wait. Don't you wait to see who else is coming. You come now. Come quick. Come on. There's more than that. I'm not going to continually ask. This is your moment. This is your time. Some of you think it's not cool. Dead is not cool. Jail is not cool. Your life put on hold for years. That's not cool. I want those that I asked to pray. I want you to come right now. Just the ones that I asked to pray tonight. I want you to come. Chuck Wood, I want you to come. Come down. Brad, I want you to come. I want you, each one of you, to start praying. Chuck and Ryan, I want you to come. I want you to grab that bottle of oil, and I want you to begin to go from one end to the other. There's still some more, and I don't know what you're waiting on. What do you need, an invitation from heaven? Get out of your seat. Step down here. Be bold. Say, this is it. I want God to destroy that in my life and set me free. Come on. Yes. God bless you guys. Come on. You're here tonight. Maybe it's not drugs or alcohol. Maybe you're struggling with pornography. Maybe there's just something in your life. You can't get free of it. Come on. Don't wait. Come. Thank you, Lord God. Touch them, God. Every single one tonight. In the name of Jesus, He's going to heal. You're going to hear more testimonies from the people that are up here right now. You're going to hear and see testimonies from the ones that are up here right now. Thank you. There's five more people. I just sense the Lord just nudge my heart to say that. There's five more people. You're standing out there and you're just wondering and waiting. If you'll step out in faith tonight, God, He'll do what no one else has been able to do. Some of you have been trying to do things on your own and working at it, and nothing has changed. You can have it tonight. You can have it tonight. Yes, Lord. Where's those other five people? Come right down. Stand right in front of me right here. Come right down. That five that I just said. Stand right in front of me right here. I'll pray for you personally. Believe God with you. Stand with you. The Lord is doing some great and mighty things right here tonight. Hallelujah. Pastor Terry, get right around in front. Lay your hand right on him. Pray over them tonight in the name of Jesus. Just go right down there. Lay your hand right on them, Pastor Terry. Where's that five? Come right here. My wife and I are standing right here. She's going to stand with me and help. Don't be afraid. I may look mean, but she's not. Praise your name, Lord. Come on. Here's one. Where's the other four? Come on. Where's the other four? Come on. Thank you, Lord. We glorify your name, God. We glorify you, Lord. I'm looking for four more tonight. Thank you, Lord. Jesus is down here right now in the power of his Holy Spirit to set men and women free. And this is going to be done in about 3 minutes. Hallelujah. Praise your name, God. Praise your name, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Touch the lives. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Lord, I thank you tonight for the word of the living God that brings hope, that brings healing, strength, and deliverance. I thank you tonight, God, that for each and every one tonight that has come, that this is a new day for them. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, this is a new day. Lord, I pray for those other four that didn't step out tonight. I just pray, God, that as they leave here tonight, that Spirit of the living God, I pray your hedge of protection around them. And I pray that you'll even keep them awake tonight until they make it right with you. Hallelujah, Lord. I thank you and I praise you for it in the name of Jesus. Come on, and everybody said a great amen. Come on, church. Come on. Can you give the Lord a great praise tonight? You guys up here, you can stay here a minute. I love you. Go in His grace. Hey, before you leave, just if you can, come down. Tell Chris, man, you appreciate him. Appreciate him being a part. Appreciate the word of the Lord tonight. I love you.